10, 2 Corinthians, and I wonder how you're doing with the challenge of trying to put a word down for each chapter of a characteristic of a minister of God. Now these chapters, are probably the densest chapters in the sense of characteristics that we should see, so I think we should be able to accomplish that. Let's read in chapter 10. There's a key word that the Lord just kind of had jump off the page of me when I was studying just even this week in these chapters. And the word is weak or weakness. We're going to find it in 10, 11, 12. And it's used... what do you want to say? In a double meaning. In other words, it's viewed as weak from the natural realm, from the fleshly realm. And there's a sense then Paul talks about being glad to be weak because that's the way it needs to be if he's going to accomplish anything. So maybe you want to notice that word. Let's just read chapter 10 and... there is at least two things that can be accomplished from these chapters, I think. One is personal relation to ourselves. Well, it could be convicting to us about how we do things. And it also could be encouraging to us to keep on. To keep on, because we're seeking to follow this same pattern of Paul. And then the second thing is it could be instructive to us, and I think maybe particularly of younger people, to use discernment to see a difference between spiritual ministers of Christ and those that present themselves as being such. And we might think, we don't really like to kind of talk that way and that there's people that aren't genuine, but... Paul does. Paul does here. And, we need to be willing to face reality even about other people and ministers, ministries or whatever. And mark them. Paul says in Philippians 3, he says, those that follow this example, mark such men. In other words, put a note on men that are spiritually investing in the saints, that are dead to themselves, that Christ is living through them, that they're not living for pleasure in this world, that they're not trying to get attention, all those kind of characteristics. He says, mark them, Philippians 3. Because, who we admire, we start to act like. We start to think that that's the way it is. So if we start to admire people that puff themselves up as being something, and we think we should follow them, and give them a claim as their... claiming, it's detrimental to our own hearts, to our own well-being. But if we admire those that are truly like Christ, it'll be a great blessing and it'll protect us in our lives. Well, the Corinthians, Paul loved the Corinthians enough. He had a jealousy, he's going to say in chapter 11, for them. He loved the Lord enough, too. That he was willing to expose, by contrast, those that really weren't ministers of Christ, weren't faithful. So that's what we see really in these verses. And he keeps saying, there's a sense in which he really doesn't want to do this. But he says, you've pushed me to it. You glory in these people. You boast in these people. And you're completely mistaken in doing so. And so he exposes it. I suppose that could have been not appreciated. But he was willing to do it. Willing to do so. We're going to notice that in his boasting. Now this is the chapters that he says 20 times. This idea of boasting. Boasting is when you... talk about yourself, you know, or you talk about somebody else. And again, this idea of commending, why you should think something of somebody, why you should be impressed with somebody, admire somebody. His boasting, what he boasts in, is beautiful. All right, so let's try to notice that as we're reading. And I'm definitely going to read it because I just sense that how he says it's going to be a lot better than how I'll say it. So I'm going to read from chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians 10. And again, I really, as you sense through this epistle, this is the heart of it, I guess you'd say. You know, this is what he was working up to in a sense. But I myself, Paul, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of the Christ, who as to appearance, when present, am mean among you, but absent and bold towards you. But I beseech that present I may not be bold with the confidence with which I think to be daring towards some who think of us as walking according to flesh. For walking in flesh, we do not war according to flesh, for the arms of our warfare are not fleshly, but powerful according to God, to the overthrow of strongholds, overthrowing reasonings and every high thing that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every thought into the obedience of the Christ, and having in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall have been fulfilled. Do you look at what concerns appearance? If anyone has confidence in himself that he is of Christ, let him think this again in himself, that even as he is of Christ, so also are we. For and if I should boast, even somewhat more abundantly of our authority, which the Lord has given us for building up and not for your overthrowing, I shall not be put to shame, that I may not seem as if I was frightening you by letters, because his letters, he says, are weighty and strong, but his presence in the body weak and his speech naught. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when absent, such also present indeed. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves, but these measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves are not intelligent. Now we will not boast out of measure, but according to the measure of the rule which the God of measure has apportioned to us to reach to you also. For we do not, as not reaching to you, overstretch ourselves, for we have come to you also in the glad tidings of the Christ, not boasting out of measure in other people's labors, but having hope, your faith increasing, to be enlarged amongst you according to our rule, yet more abundantly to announce the glad tidings to that which is beyond you, not to be boasting in another's rule of things made ready to hand. But he that boasts, let him boast in the Lord. For not he that commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Would that you would bear with me in a little folly, but indeed bear with me. For I am jealous as to you with a jealousy which is of God. For I have espoused you unto one man to present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craft, so your thoughts should be corrupted from simplicity as to the Christ. For if indeed he that comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or ye get a different spirit which you have not got, or a different glad tidings which you have not received, you might well bear with it. For I reckon that in nothing I am behind those who are in surpassing degree apostles. But if I am a simple person in speech, yet not in knowledge, but in everything making the truth manifest in all things to you, have I committed sin, abasing myself in order that you might be exalted, because I gratuitously announced to you the glad tidings of God? I spoiled other assemblies, receiving hire for ministry towards you, and being present with you and lacking, I did not lazily burden anyone, for the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied what I lacked. And in everything I kept myself from being a burden to you, and will keep myself. The truth of Christ is in me, that this boasting shall not be stopped as to me in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. For what I do, I will also do, that I may cut off the opportunity of those wishing for an opportunity, that wherein they boast they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And it is not wonderful, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. It is no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Again I say, let not anyone think me to be a fool, but if otherwise, receive me then even as a fool, that I also may boast myself some little. What I speak, I do not speak according to the Lord, but as in folly, in this confidence of boasting. Since many boast according to flesh, I also will boast. For you bear fools readily, being wise. For you bear if anyone bring you into bondage, if anyone devour you, if anyone get your money, if anyone exalt himself, if anyone beat you on the face. I speak as to dishonor, as though we had been weak. For wherein anyone is daring, I speak in folly, I also am daring. Are they Hebrews? I also. Are they Israelites? I also. Are they seed of Abraham? I also. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as being beside myself. I above measure so. In labors exceedingly abundant. In stripes to excess. In prisons exceedingly abundant. In deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice have I been scourged, once I have been stoned, 3 times I have suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I passed in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own race, in perils from the nations, in perils in the sea, in perils in the city, in perils in the desert, in perils on the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and toil, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides these things that are without, the crowd of care is pressing on me daily the burden of all the assemblies. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is stumbled and I burn not? If it is needful to boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity or weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus knows, who is blessed forever, that I do not lie. In Damascus, the ethnarch of Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus shut up, wishing to take me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. Well, it is not of profit to me to boast, for I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not or out of the body I know not, God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I knew not, God knows, that he was caught up in the paradise and heard unspeakable things said, which it is not allowed to man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, but of myself I will not boast, unless in my weakness. For if I shall desire to boast, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but I forbear, lest anyone should think as to me above what he sees me to be, or whatever he may hear of me. And that I might not be exalted by the exceeding greatness of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan, that he might buffet me, that I might not be exalted. For this I thrice besought the Lord, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of the Christ may dwell upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in necessities, in persecutions, in straits for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am powerful. I have become a fool. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended by you. For I have nothing. I have been nothing behind those who were in surpassing degree apostles, if also I am nothing. The signs indeed of the apostle were wrought among you in all endurance, signs and wonders and works of power. For in what is it that you have been inferior to the other assemblies, unless that I myself have not, for in what is it that you have been inferior to the other assemblies, unless that I myself have not been in laziness a charge upon you? Forgive me this injury. Behold, this third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be in laziness a charge, for I do not seek yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Now I shall most gladly spend and be utterly spent for your souls, if indeed, in abundantly loving you, I should be less loved. But be it so. I did not burden you, but being crafty, I took you by guile. Did I make gain of you by any of those whom I have sent to you? I begged Titus and sent the brother with him. Did Titus at all make gain of you? Have we not walked in the same spirit? Have we not in the same steps? You have long been supposing that we excuse ourselves to you. We speak before God in Christ, and all things beloved for your building up. For I fear lest perhaps coming I find you not such as I wish, and that I be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest there might be strifes, jealousies, angers, contentions, evil speakings, whisperings, puffings up, disturbances. Lest my God should humble me as to you when I come again, and that I shall grieve over many of those who have sinned before, have not repented as the uncleanness and fornication and licentiousness which they have practiced. The third time I am coming to you, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. I declared beforehand, and I say beforehand, as present a second time, and now absent, to those that have sinned before, and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak towards you, but is powerful among you, for if indeed he has been crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power, for indeed we are weak in him, but we shall live with him by God's power towards you. Examine your own selves if you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Do you not recognize yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are reprobates? Now I hope that you will know that we are not reprobates, but we pray to God that you may do nothing evil, not that we may appear approved, but that you may do what is right, and we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we rejoice when we may be weak, and you may be powerful. But this also we pray for your perfecting. On this account I write these things, being absent, that being present I may not use severity according to the authority which the Lord has given me for building up and not for overthrowing. For the rest, brethren, rejoice, be perfected, be encouraged, be of one mind, be at peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Salute one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So Paul addresses here those who are belittling him and think of him as walking according to flesh. You notice he quotes the belittling in verse 10 of chapter 10. Because his letters, he says, are weighty and strong, but his presence in the body weak and his speech naught. So Paul was thought little of because thought of according to flesh. So the true minister of God, when evaluated by the eyes of flesh, will not be impressive. Is that okay with you and I? If we're going to be a true minister of the Lord? Is it okay that we'll be misrepresented and misunderstood? Is it okay that people won't think that we have wow? You know, there's verses in here, right, that though I love you abundantly, yet I'm less loved. You know, these are challenges and encouragements to keep on, really, to be willing to follow Paul's example in ministering to the saints in truth, aiming for reality. You know, Paul says that though we walk in the flesh, that is, you know, we're in the body right now, yet we don't war according to the flesh. We're not trying to accomplish things. We're not trying to do things by fleshly means, natural means, our means. It's of God. It's God's work. He does a work inside. We're aiming at the Spirit. It's a spiritual work that we're doing. It says the arms of our warfare, the weapons that we use, are not fleshly but powerful according to God. God working in people, changing people. We're not aiming for people to be impressed with us. We're aiming for real change, obedience, to be brought every thought, every reasoning, every idea of men overthrown. You know, overthrowing strongholds is a very impressive thing, isn't it? You take down a stronghold. But what kind of stronghold are we trying to take down? We're trying to take down men's thoughts that aren't in agreement with God's thoughts. That's what he was aiming for, to overthrow those strongholds. And you don't do that easy, do you? It doesn't happen easy. It takes a lot of work, a lot of help from God, God doing it. But that's what he's aiming for. That's the kind of warfare we're working in. And fleshly means won't accomplish that. It won't work. They pale. They absolutely can't accomplish it. Fleshly means can't bring people to salvation. Fleshly means can't build up the saints. they're just no good. Flesh is no good, right? Romans chapter 7. No good in it. So why would we ever appeal to it? Why would we ever seek to do it according to our flesh, which is no good? Why would we ever try to attract their flesh, which is no good? It has to be in the spiritual realm. Is the minister operating in the spiritual realm? Is he aiming for obedience? For bringing thinking? That is a huge accomplishment, isn't it? When the Lord works in us or in other people to lead them captive into obedience to Christ. It's actually a hymn in our Red Hymn Book. I've never sung it, but it uses that terminology of being a blessed captive. A blessed captive of the Lord. You know, it is a great blessing, isn't it? To be His slave. So Paul says, verse 7, again, very straightforward. Do you look at what concerns appearance? Is that what matters? The appearance? What people look like? What kind of show they put on? Now, this idea of weakness, you know, Paul, weakness. You just sense it throughout the passage there, that these people that were promoting themselves, were puffing themselves up, that were exalting themselves, that were commending themselves. You know, this guy's commending this guy. Oh, he's so great. And they're putting the limelight on him, and they're making this great show of appearance, that they're really something. They're promoting themselves. And they're putting themselves forward, even at the expense of the saints. He even says that, like, you put up with people that slap you in the face. Funny that if we're operating according to flesh, we'd be impressed with someone like that. That's abusing us in that sense, right? But man, they sure are big and strong and powerful. And you're impressed with that, Paul says. You know, someone that's blowing their own horn, as we say. Funny, you know, Jonathan... Jonathan goes and takes the garrison, right? There's a stronghold that was overthrown. He goes and takes the garrison, and who blows the trumpet? Saul. Saul blows the trumpet, the man of flesh, the man of form, the man of appearance, of acting like but not really being. That's Saul. Here's Jonathan, secretly, overthrows a garrison in the power of the Lord. He doesn't get any acclaim. In fact, he's almost dead after the battle. Saul's going to put him to death. But Saul is out there blowing the trumpet. Let all the people hear. Ah. You see, the fleshly realm is going to proclaim its greatness. They're going to talk about how great they are. They're going to put themselves forward. They're going to run people over because it's according to flesh. But the spiritual man, he's just faithful behind the scenes, constantly aiming for reality, a real change, obedience to the Lord, godliness, holiness, fellowship. But here's the saints, they're looking at appearance. And Paul sees that he needs to address it with them. This boasting according to appearance, according to, you know, vain things, puffing up. Challenge, you know, younger people that this is all over the place in so-called Christianity. I want to be very honest. Like, if you look at Christian musicians, so-called, there is so much self-promotion. That's flesh. I mean, we want to be honest about that. You know, if someone is, you know, their face is plastered all over, there's life-size, you know, things of them, and their billboards about how great they are, and there's websites that are, and they're, you know, they're quoting Parade magazine, which is a secular, worldly, you know, magazine that acclaims them, and they're willing. That's flesh. That's just an illustration. I say the only realm that it goes on in. But that's flesh when there's that self-promotion. Be willing to identify it. Be willing to identify it. Do you see that character in Paul? You know, Paul's coming to town, you know. Like, let's get all the big band going, and you know, here comes Paul. He didn't, no. Do you see that in those that have really been a blessing to the saints of God? How about missionaries that go into uncharted territory? You know, nobody's going to... They might get stabbed to death like Jim Elliot. How about those that are just faithfully laboring in local assemblies to try to encourage, to try to nurse? How about parents? You know, moms are a good example of this idea. You know, changing poopy diapers at 2 in the morning. It just won't work on billboards, you know, or websites, or It's just, you know, CDs, whatever. It's just not going to impress. But man, it's where it's at, isn't it? You know, if that poopy diaper didn't get changed, the kid's going to get sick and maybe die. Does that matter? That's a fundamental reality there, right? That's genuine love. Their sleep getting disturbed. It's not very pleasant smell. And all that's involved with that, you know, washing clothes day after day after day after day after day, and people not taking care of them, whatever, you know? That's just an example. In fact, one mom told her son, who can find a virtuous woman? Because her price is above rubies. And at the end of it, she says, you know, beauty is vain, it's passing, you know, at the surface. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Her husband will rise up and call her blessed. Her children are to call her blessed. Let her works praise her. In other words, there's reality in what she does. Now, that's real beauty, right? That's beauty of character. That's beauty of inside that comes out in real act of service that nobody even notices, but sure makes things wonderful. And probably, is unappreciated. But if somebody really loves someone, they keep at it anyway because they're not in it for the appreciation. They're not in it for the acclaim. So be willing to identify that. That's flesh. That's not spirit. That's not the Lord. And so we see this idea running through chapter 10. You know, read it, meditate on it. But, you know, Paul doesn't put himself forward. That's what they're kind of saying. That's his weakness. That he doesn't put himself forward to proclaim how great he is. He says, we're not going to join in that. These people, verse 12 is a mouthful about commending and comparing. And, you know, they class themselves with themselves and they compare themselves with them and commend each other and they measure themselves by themselves and they're on the top 40 chart and they have the number one song for the longest time and they get... Sound familiar? I mean, we got top 40 Christianity. What is this? I'm just using an example, but it's big. I mean, I think that's huge in the application of this passage. That is not of the Lord. And so they're comparing themselves with themselves, and they're not intelligent to do so. Because whose commendation matters? Is it that people talk about you all over the place? Or is it the Lord's commendation that matters? The Lord's. And Paul sees it that these Corinthians were an opportunity given by the Lord. The Lord had measured out, all right, Paul, I want you to go to Corinth. You know, there's other places he could have gone, but he decided he wanted him to go to Corinth. And so this was an opportunity for Paul to serve there and to be used of the Lord there. That's all it was. It wasn't some great thing that Paul himself was. And so he ends the chapter. Great verses for us to take to heart. He that boasts, let him boast in the Lord. For not he that commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. That's the commendation that matters. It's whether the Lord agrees it. Then he goes on to boast. Chapter 11. Would that you would bear with me with a little folly. Why? Because I'm jealous concerning you with a jealousy that's of God. Because I've espoused you to one man, to present you a chaste, pure virgin to Christ. See, he saw them following after other men, so to speak. And he had betrothed them to one man, to be his and his alone. That's beautiful. Holiness is beautiful. Devotion is beautiful. Purity is beautiful. And that application, isn't it? Interesting how that fits with this idea of substance versus surface and sincerity. You know, marriage, holiness, devotion, real love for one another that seeks to bless one another is a beautiful thing. It is a blessing. I mean, it blesses other people when there's marriage like that, isn't it? Doesn't it bless the children? Doesn't it bless others around? You know, their home becomes a haven for nourishment, not just physical. But the world doesn't talk about it. They talk about fornication like it's something. They talk about, you know, relationships with anybody out there and, you know, women showing their body to anybody who wants to see it. And that's somehow attractive. That's beautiful. You see the surface compared to substance, the reality of lasting beauty, character. Well, he says, I've betrothed you to one man. I want you wholly to him. I want you taken up with him, not with others. And I'm afraid, you know, that these men, they bring you a different Jesus and you might go along with it. They give you a different gospel and you go along with it. You know, Christians can get deceived. And we should be concerned about it. Paul is concerned about it. They can get deceived into a different Jesus. Still call him Jesus, but it's not the same one. Not the Bible Jesus. Different gospel. Well, he says, he repeats this a few times. Verse 7. Have I committed sin, abasing myself in order that you might be exalted because I gratuitously announced to you the glad tidings of Christ? I spoiled other assemblies, receiving hire for ministers towards you. Interesting how that fits right in there, huh? That he came, when he came, he didn't take anything from the Corinthians. He just gave to them. And somehow that had been turned on its head by these false teachers, like that Paul didn't think the Corinthians were very valuable because he didn't take money from them. Was that wrong? Did I make a mistake? I mean, is that sin, he says? You know, forgive me this injury, he says in chapter 12, that I came among you and just preached the gospel to you and labored among you for 18 months and I didn't take a penny from you. You know, someone operated according to flesh, he says, verse 20 of chapter 11, For you bear, if anyone bring you into bondage, if anyone devour you, if anyone get your money. You know, operating according to flesh, they're trying to get from people. Operating according to spirit, they're trying to give to people. They're not trying to get. They're trying to be a help, a blessing, a real help. And so there's this sacrifice instead of this sponging, you know, trying to get from people. And so you see that consistent characteristic, don't you? When you see self-promotion, you see getting money. Getting from people instead of giving to people, instead of helping. So he says, you know, sorry that I was so inclined to do that I didn't lazily burden any one of you. Well, these workers, now, I've thought, you know, I don't know that I would say anybody that asked for money as a minister of Satan, right? We don't want to go that far, okay? But that character is not of the Lord, okay? So we want to be willing to identify that. But here among them, the just like Satan acts like he's something that he's not. These people, deceitful workers, acted like they were something they weren't. They came in the name of Christ, they came in the name of the gospel, but they weren't what they were. So that can happen still today, can't it? That people can talk about being Christian whatever, and they're not. Not all that's called Christian is Christian. That's right here, right? And so they transform themselves. They present themselves as something different than they are. Well, the end of chapter 11 is just wonderful to meditate on, to see this this contrast. He says, you know, you put up with these people that bring you into bondage, devour you, take your money, exalt themselves, even mistreat you. You know, the boasting according to the flesh. So I'm going to boast too. And, you know, they had these attributes. You know, they were Hebrews. Ooh, they were Israelites. The seed of Abraham. Like these natural realm things. Like that mattered somehow. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as being beside myself. I above measure so. And I think maybe when he says, I speak as being beside myself, it's like he doesn't really want to talk about this. It's not like he ever made up a resume and said, okay, these are all the things that I, you know, I've traveled this many miles and I've put on this many shows and I've, you know, acclaimed in this many countries and I've been shipwrecked this many. But it's funny the things that he talks about. He doesn't talk about being acclaimed. He talks about being shipwrecked. But he wouldn't even want to glory about those things, all the things he suffered. But he lists them out because he loved them enough to say, there's a difference. These people like comfort. They like to be acclaimed. They like to be put forth. They like to get your money. And look what I've done as a minister of Christ. This is what should characterize ministers of Christ. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. They give up of themselves. They suffer. They're mistreated. They labor exceedingly abundant. So let us ask our own hearts. If we're going to serve the Lord, Is this what we're signed up for? Labor is exceedingly abundant. Misunderstanding. Many troubles. But he wasn't living for himself. He wasn't living for himself. He was living to bless them. He was, even beyond that, was the burden, the inner burden. Beyond the outer trouble was the inner burden. And so there's this this weakness of Paul. He was so weak that he sacrificed himself. Suffered, you know. He's a lame person. You know, he kept getting shipwrecked and, you know, robbed. And he's just such a lame person. He can't even stand up for himself, right? It's kind of, that's the image that's painted there. He can't even get things together. No, it's because he loved the saints. He was strong in that sense. Well, the truth is, and this is encouraging, isn't it? Chapter 12, the truth is that where Paul's character came from, and it can be in us too, is a man in Christ. Is that this is the Lord Jesus living in Paul. And so it's really the characteristics of the Lord Jesus being seen in him. Sacrificialness, the Lord Jesus sacrifice. Steadfastness, even when not appreciated. Doing things in secret. Even being dependent upon the Spirit of God. We see that in Luke, as the Lord Jesus as a man, instead of on himself. If anybody could have been dependent on himself, it was the Lord Jesus. And yet here he is. He goes off and prays. Here he is. The Spirit's leading him. And so, it's really a man in Christ. It's really Christ in a man that is Paul. And can be you and I. So for the few passing moments and hours and days that we have on this earth, the Lord Jesus could be manifest in our situation, whatever it might be, as ministers of the Lord. So that's the beginning of chapter 12. It talks about seeing the Lord in glory. The key to the Christian life, being occupied with Him. And that Christ in glory was to live through Him. And He was to be weak so that then He could be strong. Because as soon as He tried to be strong, He was going to be weak. Ineffective. As soon as He tried to be strong in Himself. As soon as He tried to be Paul. Or rather Saul. He wasn't going to be effective. But when He was done with Himself. And He was no way He's ever going to accomplish anything in Himself. And when I am nothing. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. When that was the way he lived, then he was strong. Because this was the power of Christ being actively lived out through him. That's the Christian life. So weakness, this weakness of giving. I listed down five things that he connects weakness with. Weakness of giving instead of taking. Weakness of sacrifice instead of exalting self. Weakness of caring for the saints' condition. He talked about that when who is weak and I am not weak. The weakness of rejection and loneliness and lowliness. The weakness of being done with yourself and letting the Lord Jesus live through you. Kept low so that the Lord could use you. Well, at the end of chapter 12, he says, I've become a fool. You've compelled me. You've pushed me into it because you're the ones that ought to have been commending me. You know, you know what my life has been like. You know the things that were accomplished through me, even the signs and wonders. What is it that, verse 12, for what is it that you've been inferior to other assemblies unless I myself have been in laziness a charge upon you, have not been in laziness a charge upon you? Forgive me this injury. Sorry about that I, you know, didn't take your money from you. And I'm going to come again. I'm not going to take your money from you now because I don't seek yours but you. Now, that's wonderful. Thing to do. That's what we're going to do. Is I'm not going to seek yours but you. In other words, I'm not after what you can give me. I'm not after getting your possessions. I'm not after anything from you. Even your acclaim. Even you talking about me to other people and saying how great I am and what a help I've been. I'm not after yours, but I'm after you. I want you to grow in the Lord. I want you to be enjoying the Lord. I want you to be coming along in the faith. I want you to be a blessing to the heart of God. Because I see myself as a parent to children. That parents minister to children. Now, verse 15, I shall most gladly spend and be utterly spent for your souls, if even in abundantly loving you, I should be less loved. So a minister of the Lord should be steadfast, shouldn't he? He's steadfast because of where it's coming from. See, if it was coming from the outside, if it was coming from people, if he was doing it before men, if he was looking for acclaim, if he was looking for getting something, He quit when it didn't happen. But he should be steadfast, even if he's utterly spent from it, even if he's not loved for it, he's going to keep on. He keeps plowing. Kind of like a mom, right? That's how this just keeps on, because it's coming from inside. Because it's coming from before the Lord. It's coming from, this is a work of God. The Lord encouraged our hearts in that. Encouraged my heart in that. To keep on. And do what the Lord has told me to do. Do what the Lord has led in. Dependence upon Him. Confidence in Him. Saying, you know, what really matters is what the Lord thinks about it, not what anybody else thinks about it. So I want to do it because the Lord's called me to it. And so Paul did that. Now, at the end of chapter 12, he says, you think I'm excusing myself. The reality is I'm not trying to excuse myself. We're speaking before God in Christ, and our real concern is for your building up. And that's why I talked about this at all. I didn't really want to after all. And I'm not really interested in you know, thinking I'm anything after all, except that it matters in how you think about what's reality and what is real Christian service. And so his real concern was for their building up. That's not why he wasn't trying to excuse himself. And he really wanted to prevent, he says in chapter 12 and 13 here, he really wanted to prevent him having to come and deal sternly with the situation. He had apostolic authority, of course, too. And he really wanted to avoid that, you know. He didn't want to put himself forward in his apostolic authority, could have. He didn't want to have to speak strong words. He wanted to avoid that if he could. That's why he wrote the letter ahead of time, he says. That's why I haven't come yet. It's because I want to see you change now. He says, but there's people that are among you that haven't repented of their uncleanness and fornication and licentiousness. All that's getting permitted still. Because the false teachers aren't going to deal with those things. The deceitful workers aren't going to deal with those things, though they really should. And so I'm going to deal with them. And I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to come, because, you know, when that starts, there's going to be whispering and they're going to be, oh, that Paul guy, you know, what's going on? There's going to be dissensions and, you know, people lining up with this. You know, when there's dealing with a problem like that, it never really comes out very nice. But Paul was willing to do it and saw that he had to do it. He says that again in chapter 13. Now, chapter 13, verse 3, I think it's helpful to notice there's a parenthesis. Darby puts a parenthesis. I don't know if your translation would have it. But he says, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me. And then there's this parenthesis from there until the end of verse 4. So we could read right from there. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, examine your own selves if you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So he's saying, do you want a demonstration? This goes back to chapter 3, right? Am I commending myself? You're my letter. You know, living proof. If you seek a proof of Christ speaking to me, you want some proof, you know? This Paul guy, he's something. There's something to him. They wanted something to him. Oh, well, look at yourselves. Are you in the faith? How'd that come about? Wasn't it the Lord through me, using me, that accomplished that? Prove your own selves. Don't you recognize that Jesus Christ is in you? So he says, you know, What our desire is that we're not really actually interested in you approving us, but that you would do what's right. We really want you to do what's right. We want you to not do any evil. We just speak the truth, because we can't do anything against the truth. You know, if you love someone, the truth is what they need, right? Truth is reality. So, you know, if you love someone, you wouldn't lie to them. You wouldn't twist things. You'd present the truth, because that's the best thing for somebody. You know, if somebody's going to drive off a broken bridge, you tell them the truth. Don't go there. That's a bad idea. Because you love them. Because that's the truth. It's reality. There's going to be ramifications if they go that way. And so he says, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. That characterizes life, this sincerity idea. Verse 9, for we rejoice when we may be weak and you may be powerful. Glad to be a servant. Glad to have himself be nothing so that they could be blessed. So they could be helped and come along. But this also we pray, you're perfecting. That's his summary of his goal for them. They're perfecting. He wants them to be coming along, them to be coming to maturity, them to be holy before the Lord, them to be enjoying the Lord. Well, what should characterize Christ's minister then? A minister of God. There should be steadfastness. There should be quietness, in a sense, because they're not trying to get attention. There should be sincerity in themselves, in their goals, in the way they do things. There should be straightforwardness about how they do things. Because it's being manifest before man, before God. There should be an aiming for sincerity, for real godliness in the lives of those they're ministering to. There should be sacrifice, giving of themselves instead of trying to get from other people. There should be a lot of secret labor that nobody even knows about. There should be a dependence upon the Spirit of God to work, because they know that they're not going to be able to do it at all themselves. And we see that a lot. Not that we're sufficient in ourselves. Couldn't do it at all. There should be substance or substantial results. You know, if you're aiming for substantial results, it takes a while, doesn't it? And in fact, there'd probably be a lot of people, in a sense, that it doesn't work. You know, the aroma, you preach the straight gospel, there'll be people that get saved and there'll be people that don't. If you're working in the saints, it's going to take a lot of work, and there'll be people that respond, there'll be people that won't. And so the option stands before us. Are we going to settle for a facade? Are we going to settle for a show? Or do we want reality? Reality with ourselves, reality with others, reality in our service, reality in what we're trying to accomplish. That's true all the time. You know, we could we could settle in ourselves for just putting on a show. Right? We could just act like, but not really be. We could settle it in an assembly. We could settle for just kind of acting like, and that's good enough. Instead of reality, but settle for it in our ministering to others. You know, are we willing to aim for perfecting? It's going to take a lot of time. Are we willing to aim for sincerity? Are we willing to aim for substance? Are we willing to aim for real, true, holy fellowship with the Lord? I think that's the message of 2 Corinthians, isn't it? That that serving the Lord is hard, but glorious. What's the alternative? I mean, the alternative is so lame in comparison, isn't it? Just, you know, what is the point of putting on big shows? What is the point of having a whole bunch of people that are just shows? What is the point of me being a big show? Because in the end, you know, there's that judgment seat when everything's being manifested about everyone and everything they've ever done. You know, in that day, the only thing that's going to matter is what's going to pass the test. Test the reality. So we see in those that have kind of got a grip of this same spirit of Paul, the same Christ in them spirit, we see in them this consistency, this confidence, not of themselves, but in the Lord, that just keeps on and is faithful and reliable and steadfast. You know, just think about servants of the Lord. You know, I trust that there's some good examples that you think of in your lives. I don't know if the saints here know Dave and Grace Crowdis. Just think about a modern-day example. They're missionaries in Zambia. I see a beautiful character in them. I mean, I guess they're 73 or something. So a couple years ago, the Lord opened a door for them to go into Malawi, and they learned a new language. Now, you know, you don't learn a new language very easily. And when you're 73, it's a lot harder when you're 17. But the Lord opened the door. And so, you know, that must have meant an awful lot of sacrifice, you know. There they are sitting at home probably studying language. I mean, what absolute boredom, right? I mean, what pain and suffering in a sense. And yet, you know, true servants of the Lord, that there's the hidden things, right? That if you really want to accomplish spiritual things, it's going to be an awful lot of effort and work behind it that nobody's going to care about. That there's never going to be a big DVD put out about it. Or PowerPoint. Now, zoom, zoom. Look at Dave Crowdis and all that he's done. But, you know, there's real results. I mean, real spiritual results from those kind of characters. I'll just give an example. The Lord encourage our hearts. You know, maybe brother, sister, you're laboring and nobody knows about it. And you've labored for a long time and a lot of nights and a lot of days and a lot of tears and a lot of feeling like giving up. There's a couple of times he said, we faint not. Did you hear that? A lot of times that maybe you feel like you should go for falsifying. Falsifying the Word of God. That's the other way. You either quit or you fake it. You go for the fake. The Lord encourage you to keep on. The day will declare it. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray for a help, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that it might be true that Christ, your Son, would be manifested still today in our lives. That the beautiful character of the Lord Jesus, that didn't try to get attention for himself, that longed to see real effect in people and lives, was willing to tell people that they had to give up everything if they were going to follow him. That character that meant leaving heaven to come to earth, that meant going into a cesspool morally, that was always devoted to yourself, that did everything as before God, wholly devoted to God. That character that always sought the best interest of others, even at the expense of himself and even if unappreciated. That character that truly was spent and that in abundantly loving was less loved, even to be crucified. That character that aimed for newness of life, that aimed for truly pleasing God, righteousness, holiness of the truth. That character that didn't look for comfort, that didn't have a home. That if there was anybody that was impressive, it was him, yet never tried to get people to be wowed by him. Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ then might truly be evident in our lives. Pray that you would encourage brothers and sisters here to keep on being faithful in unseen, sacrificial service. We pray for help to be alert to those that aren't following that same model and to not admire them or follow them or imitate them. So we pray for encouragement, Father. We do desire effect in changed lives and overthrown strongholds. Just help in keeping at it. And we pray for your Spirit to work in your time, that there be mighty spiritual work according to God in your assessment, in the final assessment, in the only assessment that really matters. That you would be pleased. That the Lord Jesus might say of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Pray in his precious name for his glory. Amen.